Every blood disease goes in the name of Jesus. Weaknesses of the liver, weaknesses of the kidney, weaknesses of the heart, it goes in the name of Jesus. It goes in the name of Jesus. Please increase my volume. It goes in the name of Jesus. We bind every spirit of infirmity. We bind you now. We bind you now. As we testify in this our teaching to the reality and the power and the potency and the purpose of the blood, let it go to work in lives, in the souls of men, in the hearts of men, in the bodies of men, in the name of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, join me in the next 20 minutes. Amen. You are welcome in the name of Jesus. We are trusting God to give us a drastic shift on the basis of this teaching. And part of the reason, as I say often, that we pray the way we pray is so that we'll be approximated to the energy level where the reality of what we teach is located. It is possible that a man can hear a teaching, but the reality is not yet at work in his life because he has not appeared at the energy level. The things of God are not just knowledge as per what you can get in school. They are reality. The Bible said in the book of John chapter 4, it said that they that worship God will do so in spirit. Get out your jotter, bring out your jotter, you need to write now. That they that worship God will do so in spirit and in truth. The word truth there is reality. That we mean that the person we intend to interact with is existing in a different realm and his essence is of a different nature. So the nature, if God wants to communicate his essence, is only in reality. I have taught it here repeatedly. So if I want to tell you that I'm a rich man, as a human being, what will I do? Is it not to say, how do they sing that song? And then I'll be spraying money. Is it not true? But if God wants to tell you that he's a rich man, what he will do is to make you rich. That's how he does his own. He will communicate. He says, you will be the one to testify that God is a wealthy God. If he wants to show you that he's good, your father wants to show you that he's good, a human being, he will do it in such a way that we can only trap it in the natural. But if God wants to show you that he's good, he will release his goodness upon your life. You will now be the one to testify that God is what? Are you with me now? What if God wants to show you that he is great? A human being will want to maybe attain something in life as a proof that he is great. No, God shows us, teaches us his greatness by revealing that greatness. The reality of the greatness of God will be manifest in your life. It will now mean that there is no other way for we to understand the things of God except we touch the reality. So if we come here and talk about things and we don't touch the reality, then it will mean that we have not touched the essence of God's communication. Are you now with me now? So imagine if I, as I always use, the example that many people will understand, considering the kind of query site that we have found ourselves, people can talk about prayer. But once you enter here, you will find out that prayer is beyond what you teach. It is what? Say the reality. So there is prayer, the human cognitive communication, and then there is prayer, the reality. Now, am I saying this teaching is not good? In fact, there is only one way to convey things from one point to another. Convey knowledge from, how do you convey knowledge? Say teach. Yes, it's the problem now is that the knowledge we are supposed to convey is not human knowledge, it is spiritual knowledge. Satan is spiritual knowledge. So how do you communicate spiritual knowledge? It will mean that the tools that you will need will be beyond what we have as humans. It might be It might still be the way we teach in the class, but there will now be a supernatural dimension added to it, so that it will make for the spiritual aspect of what we want to convey. So when you come here and we teach, maybe in a Bible study, about prayer, the target is that we hope that by the time we are through with the teaching, we would have been able to communicate prayer the reality. Are you with me? So imagine if you know everything about prayer, the knowledge, but you don't know prayer the reality, will you have been able to pray by that time? Then there is another person that did not know everything about prayer. He doesn't know the genesis or revelation of prayer, but that person can pray. Who will have the result? Now, another point I need to make is that if God is a spirit and his essence is spiritual or in the spirit, it will mean that fundamentally his teaching is spiritual. So the real education that God gives you is the education of your spirit. Sometimes the education of my spirit. I didn't hear you. The education of my spirit. I didn't hear you. It's only one third. In fact, it's only one tenth. Ekachi, I've not heard your voice. Since you hit your money in crypto, you are now Kai. I just watch the way where you they pray now. Things don't they okay now. So there is no need. Liberate. No be so. Are they seeing any the post time? So let me try again. The education of let me try again. Should we try again? So your response is a proof whether the money from crypto has collected your capacity to respond. The education of God is in the spirit. Say after me, the education of God is in the spirit. I know they hear you say. Say it loud. The education of God is in the spirit. And I've told you people why. Because he is a spirit. So he can only communicate spiritually. So the Bible said that you'll be granted in all the dimensions of the will of God, in all wisdom and what? Spiritual understanding. That is what we call. Are you with me, sister? Are you sure you are okay? Somebody find food for her. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding. There is spiritual understanding. There is spiritual knowledge. So, in this place, the reason why we pray the way we pray is so that you will be approximated to the energy level where the reality of what we are teaching is. As a matter of fact, sometimes before we have even taught, you have already experienced it. Is it not true? So, when we are talking about it, you say, is this thing what he's saying? Is this thing? It is even better for you as of that moment because it will help you to quickly apprehend. Imagine if I start teaching the tangibilities of the spirit now. You can easily pick it. Why? Because it's already around you. You know what is the tangibility of the spirit? Goodness. Do you know what it means? Have you noticed that sometimes it will seem as if some part of your body is burning? Sometimes your hand. Sometimes it will be your spine. Sometimes it will be your leg. Huh? Sometimes your ear. Your ear. One of your ear. How many of you have that kind of experience? So now, if we start teaching on it, it will be easy for you to understand why. Because the reality is already communicated to you. What you now need is for somebody to tell you, oh boy, now listen, this is your experience. Are you getting the point? So there is a guy that told me those days, one of my friends, when we were doing youth service, said that if he prays and asks God, what should I do about this matter? If it is a yes or no issue, he said that there is something working in him. And the thing functions as the urine and tummy. If he's no, he's right, his left ear, we start giving him sign. I'm not saying that's what he means. The way you are looking at me, you need to find out your own. Amen. Oh. Then if he's yes, his right ear will start twitching. So imagine if we start teaching on it. Many of you will want us to teach on it, is it not true? Anyway, we already have a teaching on that. We did, I think, a 7 hours Bible study on that. You can find it, I'm not sure, but it should still be on our Telegram channel. Amen. So we are trusting that the reality of what we are teaching will be made alive. It is the reason the topics and the teachings we bring out is not by popular opinion, it's by heavenly opinion. We have seen the seasons that God has brought us into, not just us, but the season that the earth is in now, the season that the nation is in now, the season that the believer is in now, and the season that we are in now as a corporate body. We need to be reminded of this. And I'm not assuming that you don't know anything about it, but even though you know, I beg your permission to call it to remembrance. It was Peter that said, even in those things that we know, I will not stop calling your mind back to it. Because sometimes the things we know, it will leave us. Was there no time in your life when there are some things you don't struggle with? After some time, even though you made progress in others, but you start struggling in other ones. Amen. I think I will start my teaching with Doc. There is something you were teaching me the other time in my office. You know me, I'm a researcher. Once you appear before me, whatever you studied in school, as you are telling me, I will carry it and put in my own knowledge. Because I know that one day I will need it in my teaching. You know, the summary of that thing we are discussing is about the blood. And as I was meditating on it, the Holy Spirit now struck my mind. I said, can you not see that this is a typification of what we wanted to teach in the spirit? Remember where my brother Harry started. He began to tell us that the blood is the vessel that the life of every you know, the scripture was specific in that book of Leviticus in saying that the life of the flesh. It is very important to stay with the scripture. Very, very important, because if you shift it out of context, it will not hold water. The same revelation will not hold water. So you need to keep the revelation within context. Because we cannot say the life of every being, because it's not every being that has blood. I hope you know. So for you will notice that for a being to retain blood, there must be flesh. Now I have to show you. Are you with me? Oh,
yes, sir.
I will show you how it happened. I will show you how the reaction that took place that produced that kind of capacity in flesh to have blood in them. And then the investment of the life of that flesh is now where? In the blood. Say after me, in the blood.
Yes,
so if, as he said, the life of a goat is where? I didn't hear you. The life of a goat is where? The life of a cow is where?
Yes.
What of the life of a man? The life of a man is where?
Yes.
What if we start categorizing men? Because I will soon do it. Huh? Over time, you find out that all flesh is not the same, and they don't have the same quality. I will show you why the blood. Yeah, that's our purpose. My target now is to do a little bit doctrinal stuff on the blood. Then we fly, so that I will start showing you some stuff. We need to establish scripturally that what we are teaching is correct. Now, that is why I'm starting with the doctrine of the blood. Then from the doctrine of the blood, we now move to the doctrine of the blood of Jesus. That is, I know we say understanding the blood, but it's just because if we write the full thing, it might not contain it. It should be understanding the blood of Jesus and the mysteries, operation, purpose, and you know, there is no need. Are you with me? So we just said understanding the blood and its ministry. Actually, where we are going to is the ministries of the blood. That is where we begin to participate. Are you with me? We begin to participate in the blood of Jesus because there is a ministry there. If there is no ministry in the blood, then there is no reason for us trying to engage anything. It is because there are ministries captured in the blood. As you also know, there are ministries captured in the name. These are the pillars of our faith, as he said. Amen.
Amen.
If you are with me, say amen.
Amen.
Now, as Doc was teaching me, let me start from there. He began to tell me that there is what we call the right ventricle and the left. He just taught me one, but the thing entered. Are you sure you are not good in classroom? I think you are good in the classroom, even though you don't like it, but I think you are good. Because he taught me once and the thing entered. If it's like this, I can be a doctor. The guy just beating me. There are many things we said we will be. Eh? But IJ question. Say you will be a businesswoman. There are many things that are up to 20. Until you begin to mature, you find out that they are called, that's why it's called fantasies. Reality will begin to hit you like this. Sometimes I used to see aeroplane, I even said I would be a pilot. All kinds of things I said I would be. And then I watched Commando and I said, oh, I go be soldier. All kinds of things. Somebody like Budos, I want to be a wrestler. All kinds of things. Want to be a wrestler, I want to be a military man, he want to be all kinds of things. Until reality comes and they give you mic. Amen. So there is what? Am I correct? We have the left and the right. Is it not true? Now, which of them carries the oxygenated blood? The left ventricle carries the oxygenated blood. The way you are looking at me, you like this, my lecture. It's only medical people. And thank God, majority of you are medical people now. The nurses, doctors, all these health sciences. Say amen. Our class is full of them, so I think we will make progress. Maybe so. So, the left carries the oxygenated blood. That is, you know, the Bible was telling us in the book of Romans that no man that finds himself under the face of this earth can retain the capacity to say that God is not there and receive the capacity to reject the laws and the revelation of God himself. Because even before the gospel was preached to you by a man, creation itself is the first preacher. Are you with me? So when a man looks upon the creation, he will see, even in fact the Bible said that the creation had the capacity to reveal and teach things to the point that he retained even the capacity to reveal the eternal power and Godhead. This is a dimension of teaching that is deep, that it takes a lot of revelation. In fact, he reached the point, Paul himself said, that grace is the mystery of godliness. It will mean that this dimension of teaching is not the one you just wake up and delve into. For example, the teaching of something like Trinity takes a lot for a man to enter into it. That is why many times when you begin to teach some of these things, you stop where the Bible stops. Do you know why you need to stop where the Bible stops? Because the full extent of that revelation cannot be captured in this realm. Not as if God doesn't want to communicate it, but this time and space will not allow you to be able to comprehend the spiritual truth that God is trying to teach you. Are you getting the point? He will teach you some things, but because of your circumstance, your environment, because of the earth, there is nothing in your education as a man that have the capacity to capture that kind of knowledge. Are you seeing it? That is why many times the prophets that we are taking into heavenly encounters, some of the encounters they had, there is no human language to communicate it. So Paul said, I know such a one that was carried to the third heaven, and he saw things that were not, he was not allowed to utter them. It's not just because God doesn't want to communicate it, but an attempt to communicate such a thing without the commensurate utterance, we mean that something that is meant for good will now turn to harm, because such is the things that are spiritual in context. If there is no correct communication, just one. Have you seen where they do circumcision? circumcision is the same thing with castration. Is the same region, the same knife. Are you with me now? So one small mistake, circumcision is supposed to make you better. Are you with me? With the same knife, you can castrate. You are not with me. So you now see why it is important for us to pay attention. Because it is with the same knife, not another knife. So you can be teaching the same thing. Just one mistake will castrate a whole generation. You will castrate a generation with your teaching. The same knife. So that is why many of them, many times, God will look at the earth and many things that we are subject to, especially as a consequence of the fall. There are many things that we will never understand. God will never tell us, because the original nature of some of those things has already been mutated. So if God begins to teach us about it, our mind cannot comprehend the facts. So many languages that is captured in the book of Psalms are spiritual languages. So you will not be able to, it takes the Holy Ghost bringing us into encounters for we to understand some of these things. And it is even in the dispensation of the end of time that God began to reveal some of them with the correct utterance through his holy prophets and apostles. If not, how do you explain things like transport? But you know it's a reality. You see yourself in the dream, and then you see yourself, sometimes you fly. Those days, I used to say, anybody that tells me he flies, I fly in the dream. You are a witch. Oh. Anybody that flew in the dream is what? But Satan doesn't have the capacity for originality. He is just an imitator. He cannot create anything. He can just mutate it, perverse the use. But he is not the one that originated. In fact, he cannot originate. All he does is to see what God is doing and then generate an alternative system on what God is doing. Because if he tries to do another thing outside of what God is doing, nothing will respond to him, because the one that created it is the one that factored that potential into that thing. So except somebody generates another system that will use that thing, maybe in a different way and for a different purpose. Eh? But still, you have to understand that this thing is used this way. I will not make it to work for me. Nonetheless, it cannot do any other thing but something like the what, like what the Creator has ordained it for. Let me back to my teaching. My time is going, and I need to lay some foundation. So, the left ventricle carries the oxygenated blood. Follow me. Huh? I know you don't know what I'm saying, but still follow anyway. Huh? The right carries the deoxygenated blood. So, from what you told me, the left carries it and brings it to the aorta, right? Where? Am I correct? And then, from there, come, somebody give him the mic. Come and collect my mic. Follow, I want to teach you something. What he's about to teach you is a spiritual reality. Assuming oxygen is life and the blood is the vessel. Are you with me, oh? Will transfer that knowledge to the spiritual reality. You will now find out the plan of God for your life. The plan of God is not healing, it's health. So when an oxygenated blood passes through the system, it carries all the rubbish. Huh? And then tomorrow, it recycles it. That's why the Bible says, his mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Come and stand and teach now. You know, you are looking like a professor anyway.
Praise God.
This is Dr. Samuel Inez. Forget that he is humble, he's a big man.
Thank you, Papa.
Okay, oh yeah.
Okay, the heart has two chambers, main chambers, through which it pumps blood around the body. The right side, that is the right ventricle, receives blood from that has been used from the all part of the body, goes back to the right side of the heart. Then the right side will pump it to the lungs. The lungs, that is when you breathe in, will exchange oxygen with into the blood, oxygen for carbon dioxide, and then it goes back to the left side. Now the left side now carries the oxygenated blood and pumps it around the body. Just I hope that is simple enough.
That's simple enough. Let's clap for him. That brother is not clapping. Amen. If it's like this, I'll be passing all my exam now. Now, wow. I don't know how these lecturers manage to make this thing hard. They will just do one thing, and people are failing. Do I have witnesses in this house? We need some of you to go and replace this lecturer. You know, one go replace them. Are you sure you don't make it harder? Amen. Can you get what he taught now? He said that there is a compartment in the same heart that carries the oxygenated. Then there is another compartment that carries oxygenated. Now, following the scripture that Harry showed us, how many of you saw the scripture? It expressly told us that life is where? So, what the body, amongst many things, but what makes every other thing active and usable in the body is actually the oxygen that is in it. If you remove the oxygen, even if there are nutrients, everything, in fact, you will die before you need the nutrients will come into use. Are you with me? So it will mean that the vitality, the power of a system is the life that is in it. Are you getting the point now? The most important thing about a system is the life. Wherever the life is, that is where everybody should protect. That is where our eyes should be. Are you getting the point now? Now, according to the book of Leviticus chapter 17 verse 11, the scripture showed us there that God took every life and invested it in the blood. Now, and it is not just the life, the human life. Every life, the life of every flesh was invested where? I didn't hear you. Invested where? If you don't get it now, we are about to go deeper. I'm about to show you deeper things. So you need to follow me. I want to lay it precept by precept. Let me read it. Leviticus 17 verse 11. For the life of the flesh is where? Let's say it again. For the life of the flesh is where? For the life of the flesh is where? As long as anything has flesh, the life is in the blood. Even though by the time, I don't want to get there anyway, but by the time I might be through with this scripture, I might show you a mystery, because this possibility will be phased out in the next life. And this possibility is what Jesus had modeled. When Jesus rose from the dead, he said, touch me and see that I am what? Flesh and what? Flesh and what? Wait. I want to extract some answers. Come and give Innocent. Give him the mic. Let his generation hear him. You can sit down. Occupy until I come. Flesh and what?
Blood.
Okay. That was the first answer. This one, you are wearing eyeglasses. Do you have pain in the eye? Is it medicated or charcoal-mended? Oh yeah, put it back. If it's charcoal. Who again? I saw many people. The life of the flesh. Flesh and what? Come and give. Give an Antonia. No, that's not Antonia. Chidema. You don't know your brethren. You have committed a crime. You buy her lunch tomorrow. Flesh and what? Is there anything wrong with your voice?
It's flesh and bone.
I approve it. Can you be saying flesh and bone? Prove it. Somebody said flesh and blood. Somebody said flesh and bone. If you are for flesh and blood, say amen. If you are for flesh and bone, say amen.
Amen.
So we need to prove it. The people that said flesh and bone, the way my sister said amen, she knows the verse in the Bible. Give her. This is Bible study now. We need to ground you. We'll fly. Don't worry. In the next few minutes.
Luke 24:49 or 39.
It can't be 49. Me, even if I'm dying, I know what Luke 24:49 says. Tarry ye in Jerusalem until you are endued with power. How can you say that Luke chapter 24:49 said
39.
Let's look upon that 49 small. Just look at it. Somebody say tarry.
Tarry.
I will tarry. I'm not in a hurry. Why, Harry, why do you leave? Why are you in a hurry to leave when Jesus said you should tarry? Oh, Harry. Why won't you tarry, oh Harry? Let's see verse 39. Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and what? So as of this time now, what Jesus has is what? I don't want to extend this tonight. It will take me a lot of time to establish this one. I just want to mention the scripture in extension. Because this thing is a resurrected body. Resurrected body has no blood in it. In fact, let me start from the book of Genesis. Let me show you something small. Genesis chapter 2. Say after me, Jesus, open my heart to understand. Say it again, Jesus, open my heart to understand. Amen. See, for everything that Jesus has done for us, the truth of the scripture, the benefit from the truth of the scripture is dependent on revelation. And where revelation is not lacking, another thing that might be lacking is testimony. Are you with me? The truth of the scripture becomes operational when we testify about them. Actually, that will be the extended end part of this, our teaching. For every session we have, like today, there must be a testimony that will go with. Are you with me? You know, for example, by his blood I am redeemed. That is a reality that will not become operational in a life, even though it is a reality, until somebody begins to testify about it. Are you getting the point? It is in testifying about it that it becomes operational. So truth becomes operative when we testify. Are you with me? So that's why we need to make this prayer now. Help me to understand. And then the next one is begin to confess it. Let's assume your blood is carrying cancer, carrying all kinds of disease, carrying infection. Why not ask God to send oxygenated blood? Hey! The pesh! You know, the thing that is making me happy is that actually, the oxygenated blood, in my own opinion, is not coming from heaven. Somehow, it's somewhere inside of you, but it's in a different chamber. That's the problem. In fact, the heart is constructed in such a way that the two chambers does not mix. Is it not true? The content of the two chambers doesn't mix. When you call upon the content of this chamber, it begins to come over to this place. So there is an oxygenated blood stored in a different chamber of your inner man. So by confession and invoking and meditation and prayer, staying on the word and the truth and the revelation, by understanding, you invoke oxygenated blood and it displaces all the deoxygenated blood, carrying all the nyama nyama, all the things that is running through your body, your blood, your veins. And I will show you the impact of the blood is both, now the impact of the blood of Jesus is both spiritual, soulical, and physical. That is the reason why the blood of Jesus is not the same thing as, is not the same like any other blood. In case I don't get to get there, the Bible said that he, through the eternal spirit, he, through the eternal spirit, offered himself. It will mean that before Jesus offered the blood, he came to the spirit realm and made sure that his blood was represented in the spirit realm. His blood was represented in the solical realm, and his blood was represented in the physical realm. But the origin of the blood of man is actually not spiritual. And that is why when man had a spiritual problem, are you with me? Even the blood of man cannot cure it. There is many challenges in, let's say Harry wants to die for us. Your blood will speak, but what it will speak is dependent on what is encoded in it. Your blood cannot speak more than the potentials that it carries. Are you with me? So that is why over time we'll begin to check what makes for the efficacy of the blood. We find out that all blood doesn't carry the same efficacy. Even though we might be human, remember, as he said, the blood contains the DNA. And if it is true, it will mean that the blood contains the history of a man. Not just the history of the things that is yet to happen, but the history of the things that have also happened. Are you with me? That is why, are you paying attention? Did you see where he read in the book of Genesis? The Bible said that the Lord spoke to Cain and he said that your blood crieth out unto me from the ground. It is not the ground crying, it is the blood. What? It's just that the blood is crying from a particular location, and the location is where? It will mean that the blood have the capacity to keep record. Are you with me? It will mean that all the things you have done for the last 10 years, the record is kept where? In your brain or in your blood? I know you will say it's in your brain, but it's not in your brain, it's in your blood. So when spiritual entities want to check your record, they don't check it with your brain, they check it in your blood. It is your blood that proves your medical history. Proves a lot of history about a man that will never know your history from your face. But when we check your blood, we know your history. Notice who? Somebody can have HIV. You know, go show for face. Notice who? But the blood will reveal it. It will mean that the blood has kept the history of that person, even though it is no more showing on his face. But the blood still trapped the history of that person. Are you with me? So it will mean that a man that is paid watch, the blood has your history, has the life in it. So when a man has spent his life, even though he is 38, according to the history that the blood has captured, that man has spent 70% of his life at the age of 38. I hope you know it's possible. Let me leave you. That is why some of the apostles will come and appear, people like Paul, and say, I'm ready to be offered. It will mean, are you with me? It will mean, according to the quota of life that is allotted to that blood to execute, that man has exhausted his quota. And it wasn't measured by how old he was on earth. It was measured on the expending of life that was encoded in his blood. So Paul will make certain utterances like, I will spend and be what? Spend. What is being spent? That will mean that, no, his life. And that life is encoded where? In the blood. So if we want to check the history of Paul, what do? We check his blood. It is there that we know that there are people that are 22 years old that they have lived for long. We will know how old you are by the history that your blood traps. Are you getting something? Let's step back a little. Genesis chapter 2. Show me Genesis chapter 2. Let's start from verse 5. Okay, let's start from verse 1. If you are with me, say amen.
Amen.
Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. Verse 2. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his works which he had made. Verse 3. And God followed. This is creation. Sister, what is wrong with your eyes? Is it long or short? The way I'm looking at you, you like it. So, you like this, your eyeglasses. It's even thing looks fine. So, you know, sometimes I'm careful to collect things that people like. Yes, no. Victor, those days when he was still Victor, he went to minister to some beggars in this Nkwo. And he asked the first person, "Do you want to be healed?" You know those people that used to hold each other and saying, "Is my condition like this?" He said, they will be singing to touch your heart. Ask the first person, "Do you want to see?" The first person now turned to the person holding and said, "He said, do you want to see?" Then this person now turned to the other person and said, "He said that he said, do you want to see?" Then so that's how they asked. Sometimes you need to ask some people. Well, you want to collect his means of livelihood. I need to remind you, those people make a lot of money. More than some people in machine pass. Kwete fan now, go kwete. Ego dinabaha. Me, I'm telling you. Sometimes the thing will be food. They sell one person to go and drop it and bring another one. Me, I used to check some things. All of them, I know they see. I was checking one that I noticed that is only one. I saw one is only the clothes that was old. I now realize they used to change clothes before they come out for business. How many of you have noticed it? I look at one of them. I look at the skin. Try it next time. I check the skin. Skin they fresh. Meanwhile, me, I don't use Gary destroy my own skin. If you see how the thing they fresh, thing they do like this. Check it. Check this thing. Check. So many of them, as they are begging, they are belching. It's somebody that have eaten that belches. Don't be so. Back to my teaching. Watch. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had what? Rested from all his work which God created and made. It will become obvious by that word created that even though God rested, you need to know from what works God rested from. What kind of works did God rest from on the seventh day? Chapter me, creative works. Verse 4. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord made the earth and the heavens. Verse 5. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to what? There are two things. God has not caused it to rain. Pay attention. Pay attention. Pay attention. If your Bible is your own, even mark it. God has not caused it to rain. Huh? Number two. There is no man to till the ground. That we mean that the ground, the earth, was made for man. Not the other way around. Let's see the next verse. The next verse is where I'm going to. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of what? The ground. So there are waters that come from under. Then verse 7. I want to teach you something basic here in verse 7. And the Lord God formed man. Say after me, formed.
Formed.
I didn't hear you. Say after me, formed.
Formed.
You see, formation in this context wouldn't have been possible if it was not that there was water that came from the ground. And the mist that came from the ground had the capacity to moisten the ground and made it moldable. Stop having moldable. Do you understand what I'm saying? A hard ground wouldn't have been good for molding anything. Meanwhile, God is in the business of formation, except for the fact that water came up and moistened the earth and made it something moldable. So God began to form man. Stop having form. I don't want to go further because I hope you know forming is not exactly the same thing as creating. I hope you know. Grace, nature grace doesn't know. The Lord God formed man. I need you to pay attention. Pay attention. Pay attention. Okay, why not show me the scripture that said the Lord created man, male and female, made he them, so that grace will be, her doubts will be cleared. How did we end up in Matthew? What I'm talking about is in Genesis. Verse what? 127. Thank God we have Bible students here. That's why you should be opening your Bible. That's why, you know, they are showing this thing, but be opening your Bible. Oh. They will show you one thing, you will carry it and go. But from verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female. What? The word is consistent. Create. Create. As of this time, there is nobody physical that we have seen. So it will mean that, are you with me? It will mean that God have seen the picture of what he wants to do. Can you get the point now? So in his realm, man is already represented. But something is about to happen in chapter 2. Let's see chapter 2. Chapter 2. And the Lord God, now say after me, form. This is somebody taking care to do something. Are you with me? I don't want to extend this thing. It will put us in something that we might not have time to get over. But the basis of our earthly relation is based on this one that is in the book of Genesis chapter 2 verse 7. Because the one that is in the book of Genesis chapter 1 verse 26 and 27 is a representation of the ultimate thing that is in the heart of God. Are you with me? Now I need to tell you that the reality man is already domiciled in God himself. It is a reality that is domiciled in God himself. Are you with me? Now the intent of God, especially if you go to verse 8 of this chapter 2, is that he put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden, assuming that when man and also the tree of life, expecting man to partake of the tree of life so that he will become what he made, what he created. God created man. When you partake, you now become what he already created. It will mean that there is a creation and there is a formation. Now, if you don't understand that there is a creation and there is what? A formation, then there will be problem. And that has always even been the problem, even in the new covenant, in this thing that we have believed. So you come and tell somebody, they say, you are born again. I hope you know that when you are in Christ, you are holy, you are sanctified, you are righteous, you are healed, you are everything, you are it. That is the reality of the new creature. Say after me, the new creature. Just like God created the old one, he also created this one. But informing, Satan informing, man now becomes what is already created. So what we now become, when we now live according to the instructions of the scripture in the new creature, is that we become something that is already a reality in God. In fact, it's already a reality in us. Just that in this new creature is like a seed. When we begin to feed on the life, we begin to grow into the full capacity of the new creature that is already installed. Are you with me? Watch. So, go to verse 7. Now, I want to show you something. There is something that you might not have paid attention to. Huh? And that is the basis of blood. How I want, you know why I want to show you this thing? I want to show you the origin of blood. How did blood come? It is information. Something that wouldn't have been in existence if God did not make an attempt to form man. So he said, and the Lord God formed man. And I hope you know the word Lord God there is Elohim. Uh-huh. So form man out of, say after me, the dust of the ground. If your Bible is your own, underline dust of the ground. Keep it one side. We are about to engage a chemical reaction now. Or should I say biological reaction? A reaction is about to take place. A reaction. Okay? So, the second reaction, you know, how many of you have done reaction before? Chemical reaction. Some equation is on this side. Eh? And another equation will be on this side. This one is non-reversible reaction. So, something happened. The Bible now said, after forming man, what did the Lord do? He breathed into his nostrils, Sapami, the breath of life. This life is not eternal life. This life now is not eternal life. This is the life of existence. Huh? Just like every other being have life of existence. Are you with me now? It is, man was created in such a way that he is the only being that have the capacity to partake in eternal life. No angel have that capacity. Meanwhile, angels have their own kind of life. Are you with me now? And that kind of life came from who? Came from who? Are you getting the point? But the eternal life is not a kind of life. The eternal life is the God life. So there is a particular life that God have that is not created. The other lives we are created dependent on the being and dependent on the purpose. Angels with their kind of life, goats and chickens with their kind of life. Are you with me? Oh, humans with their kind of life. But there is another life that is not created. That life is called the God life. Are you with me? So man is supposed to exist on two planes of life. Having the human life as the subsisting life, and then standing on the subsisting human life and laying hold on eternal life. To the point that the eternal life will receive the capacity to consume everything that is human in him. Are you with me? And then he will be God represented in the physical and natural realm. That is the purpose of God, even though Adam failed to achieve it. I need to tell you that that purpose have not changed. I know we are going to heaven, eh? But the Bible said that the heaven of the heaven is God's own, but the earth has it what? So when we finish the Lord's Supper, we meet the bridegroom. Okay. I know you will like that feast. We'll go shop. You know, those days it used to bother me because I didn't read my Bible well. It used to bother me. Well, now, so we'll go just stay hungry for heaven like this. How many of you bothered you? Bothered you small? You thought on it. Say, person, no go shop. They told us those days, all these children teachers, all you children teachers, you are the people that caused this trouble. They taught us that we'll just be doing worship in heaven. How many of you, they taught you that thing? They say it's only worship, it's only worship. I said, now, wow. Me? I said, now, wow. So, basically, just they do only worship forever. Food is a heavenly civilization. Yeah. Not Gary, so that, you know, if he's William, he seems he's Gary, no, no, no. He's not Gary, no. So, it's actually consistent in the scripture that angels had their food, the Bible told us. Are you with me? The people that came down and met Abraham, they ate. Are you with me? In fact, the Bible said that there is a tree that is in the eternal city that produces 12 manner of fruits every month. Have you not read it in the book of Revelation? And you have to know, according to the book of Ezekiel, that the leaf is for health and the fruit is for what? Say meat. What is meat? Food. Okay. So back to my teaching. Watch. Are you with me? So God molded something from the earth and then breathed on it. When he breathed on it, a chemical reaction took place. I will not call it a chemical reaction. Let me just call it a reaction. I don't know. If I call it biological now, it might not be complete. Are you getting the point? Because it's beyond biological. Because even the soulish dimension was captured. As a matter of fact, when God breathed on this thing now, it is this reaction that produced the soul. So God breathed on a man. Are you with me? He breathed on a man. He's not man. He breathed on something that he molded. If anything that God touches retains something of God, it's actually the truth. One of my sisters, I told her to study something. When she finished, he said, I don't know whether the man wrote it anyway. He said that Satan is not powerful. My brother, my sisters, let me tell you the truth. The Bible is always consistent that Satan has power. In fact, he said it many times, not in one place. In fact, he said the powers of the air. All kinds of powers that they said Satan. In fact, Satan came and told Jesus, I have power to do this. And Jesus did not doubt his power. If it was not true, Jesus would have countered it there. There are many things Satan also said there that Jesus countered. I hope you know. So here, something happened. God breathed on something he molded. And remember that this thing came from the dust. And remember, the dust of the ground was moistened. Are you with me? And then God breathed on it and a reaction took place. And the Bible said that the consequence of that reaction is that man became what? Stop telling me. A man became what? So, God factored many things into this creation now. Man became a living soul as a result of the fact that God breathed on it. If you take the word flesh, you will find out that what makes flesh consistent is the fact that... Let me leave it. If I go here now, it will make me to explain more than true. But you know that there is a dimension that animals have that, or rather, there is a dimension that man has that animals don't have. That dimension is the spirit. Are you with me? Say after me, the spirit. When this reaction took place, man became a living soul. It will mean that as a result of this reaction, the basis of the livelihood of man springs from his soul. That is actually what this thing means. It is not denying the fact that the spirit component is a man. As a result of the fact of this reaction now, it will mean that as you are looking at this scripture, one of the things you will see is that it will seem as if the totality of man is represented in this chemical reaction. Are you with me? Man became a living soul. A reaction took place. Man became... Meanwhile, God has created man. But he now became something as a result of the fact that he was formed. So you cannot say something is man now. You know, sometimes some people used to say that man is a spirit that has a soul that lives in a body. But you cannot extend that revelation. You can, if you extend it, it will mean many terrible things. Actually, this is the basis of many of the things that hyper grace preachers, they teach. Because they teach that your spirit is different. and your spirit is who you are. So whatever you do with your body, are you with me? It doesn't affect your soul. It doesn't affect your spirit. And as long as nothing affects your spirit, you can go ahead and fornicate and die on the bed. They will die on the bed of fornication, first flight to heaven. You see? If it is true, where did Adam sin? Where did Adam sin? So how did he affect his spirit? So that's not where I'm going. I don't want to. What my important point now is soul. Satan is soul. My point is the soul. There is something consistent with all flesh, and it is soul. Satan is soul. Why is there soul? In fact, soul is the spiritual representation of the physical thing that we call blood, actually. Because just as the soul keeps record in the solical dimension, it is in such a way that the blood keeps record in the physical dimension. Can you follow this, my teaching? Please follow. Please follow. Please follow. Please follow. Please follow. And became a living soul. Suffer me, a living soul. But it's not just a living soul. He also has a spirit. So man has a spirit and has what? A soul and has what? So who is man now? Man is spirit, soul, and body. Man is not soul that has a spirit and lives in a body. No. Man is not body that has a spirit that has a soul. No. Man is not spirit that has a soul that lives in a body. No. Man is what? Spirit, soul, and body. You will never get to a point where man doesn't have body. If you like, have a dream. In the dream, you still have a body. Maybe so. If you like, go to heaven, you still have a body. Even if it is heavenly body, but there will still be what? Say after me, body. You, if you are bodiless, you are a demon. Yes. What demons are called is disembodied spirits. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Let me not go there. The kind of body you have is another thing now. Can be resurrected body. Can be, there are many kinds of bodies according to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But what is important is that if you are a man, you will have body. You will have soul. And you will have what? It is these three things that makes what we call man. You can't say it's spirit. Because if it is true, God will not need to become man. What does it mean to become man? Because he already is spirit. He doesn't need to become man again. Are you following my teaching? If man is spirit, he doesn't need to become, he just need to. But you are not man until you embody that three dimension. That is what makes for a man. And this thing is consistent in the whole of the scripture. I don't have time to show you in the book of 1 Thessalonians. Is it not 1 Thessalonians? Chapter what? 5 verse what? Chapter what? Hi. Help me, help me. Anthony, help me. Justice. 5:17. Show me 5:17. 1 Corinthians 5:17. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Quickly. He said, and the very God of peace, what? Sanctify you wholly. That means there are holy means. You know what it means for somebody to be whole? I hope you know you can be healed and not whole. To be whole means that every single thing about you has been rectified. Huh? So he said, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole what? Spirit. And in case you are doubting it, the man is busy adding and your whole what? Spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So this is consistent in the scripture. In fact, in the places that men said that, because what people said is that God created man in his image. Is God not spirit? And then why did he, you know, and all that? You see, that is what, that is the eternal concept of man. And it is a problem with people to understand the eternal concept of things in God, because before anything manifests in this, before it is made, God already has it in his heart. And remember, what God intends is that, even though, are you with me? The problem with people is that they are struggling with the word image and likeness. What does it mean for you to be in the image and likeness of God? Are you getting the point? Is it that some people say it is spirit? Is it that your spirit is the same thing with the Holy Spirit? Even in the spirit itself, your spirit is not the same thing as the Holy Spirit. I don't want to go there, but your spirit is not the same. Some people say it. The recreated human spirit is powerful, but it's still not the Holy Spirit. The recreated human spirit tabernacles with the Holy Spirit, but it is still not the Holy Spirit. In fact, you are supposed to house those two spirits. And the way God wants to form, that's what is called fellowship. If they are the same, then the word fellowship should be scrapped from the scripture. Are you getting my point? If it is the same, the word koinonia should be scrapped. Because what is koinonia? That two people came to and they partner and they share. If it's not two, if it's one, then there is no need now. So back to my book, my Genesis. I'm laying a foundation for the blood. So once a being has a soul, the record will be kept in the blood. In fact, the basis for the soul is that the soul keeps record of the intangible dimension of a being, or rather of a creation, or rather better still, of a flesh. Because fully represented in this kind of teaching now is specifically the matter of the flesh. Suffer me, the matter of the flesh. Now, if the scripture is, of course, that one we read in the book of Leviticus chapter 17 verse 11 is not the only scripture that made reference to that. Let's bring another scripture to solidify the matter. Why not show me this same Genesis, the book of Genesis chapter 9 verse 4. But the flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye what? So, watch. So the scripture is saying that, but the flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof. Can you see it? He's saying the flesh with the life that is in it. Of, and this life we are talking about is the blood. So in case you are saying, where is the life that a flesh has? Where is that life? So it will mean that all the capacities of the soul can be expressed by many animals. I hope you know. Like goats, like ram, like sheep. So the possibilities of the atonement in the old covenant is not complete. Do you know why it's not complete? It is not complete because man is three-dimensional, unlike any other creation. And other flesh except man, are you getting my point? Other flesh, created flesh except man, is actually two-dimensional. That is the solica. If you can feel, if you are flesh and you can feel, all that is captured in the soul. So when the blood is shed, the life of that soul is in the blood, or the life of that flesh is in the blood. So it can atone for the many things that we are doing on the face of the earth, which is bearing record on our soul. But there is an original sin that we sin that affected our spirit. Can you remember? And because this blood now lacks the capacity to represent the spirit dimension, I mean the blood of bulls and goats, and they don't represent the spirit dimension. And because they don't represent the spirit dimension, they cannot fully atone for your sin. They can only cover. Say after me, cover. After me, cover. All those sacrifices they are doing can only cover for sin. It cannot atone, because in an attempt to atone, it will miss a functional and, in fact, the most powerful dimension of man, which is the spirit. So the scripture now referred us to the scripture. It said that Jesus, the blood of, is that said that Jesus Christ, through the eternal spirit, what, offered himself. It will mean that he fully represented his sacrifice and his blood in the three dimensions of man. Can you understand this thing? So it is no more in the sepulchre. The blood of Jesus was not just shed representing this spiritual dimension. It is also shed in the presence of, by the powers of a personality called the Holy Spirit. Please, we have to get back to this particular scripture where it is the basis of many things I will teach you here in this topic. Actually, this is where I'm going. You know why I'm going here? It is important by what means and where and how the blood of Jesus was shed. So before the blood of Jesus was shed, the reality of that work was done in the ambience of the eternal Spirit of God. It will mean that the potentials and destiny of that kind of sacrifice, of that kind of blood, is determined by the ambience and reality and the powers that supported that kind of sacrifice. So the Bible said Jesus, through the eternal Spirit, and I don't have time, I would have shown you it a few more scriptures. Remember, the Bible said Jesus suffered. How do I bring it now? I want to say something that will not take me too far from what I'm teaching. Let me stay here. For how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself. So through the eternal Spirit, it will mean that the longevity of this sacrifice is as far as who? It's as far as who? The power through which it was offered. The ambience, the location, the realm in which it was offered. If we offer the sacrifice of Harry, are you with me? That sacrifice will last as long as Harry. Can you get this point now? So it is not just spirit, suffer me, eternal spirit. So it is not just only also about longevity, it's also about quality. So sometimes when we say eternal, go and wash your face. Sometimes when we say eternal, it is not longevity we are talking about. We are also talking about quality. Suffer me, quality. The quality of life. So the atonement that Jesus made, the shedding of his blood, was brought in an ambience because of the fact that his blood is not
human blood, as you think. Even though you might think it's human blood, but it is not. And that is the basis of this our teaching. Remember, I'm still giving you the doctrine of the blood. Follow. I think in medical sciences, they say that the person that contributes the origin of a human's blood is the father. Am I correct? Medical people, I didn't get it fully correct, the sentence, but I know it's something like that, correct? What's the full sentence? How do I say it? It will be fully correct. It's from the both parents. There is something about the blood. I'm trying to get it. I've seen it, and I'm sure. Who can help me and say it the way it should be? They said that either the origin or the DNA or something about the blood is coming from the father. Is it the DNA? What is it? The what? Okay, the man determines if it will be a man or a woman. Just that. There is something. I will go and do my own research. This thing I'm telling you, I know it. Yes, actually. It is actually the man that determines the nature of even the blood, the many things about the blood. You know why I'm telling you this? Even the history, many things about the blood. That is why. Follow me.
If you are not born again, curses can be transferred to you through the blood. Because for you, it can be inherited. Traits can be transferred to you. Is it not true? Information, something that your father is doing, is now transferred to you. Now watch. Basically, it is the man that determines that. It will now mean that what is important is actually who is your father. In fact, the woman is created in such a way that she takes whatever seed is given to her and puts flesh on it. She is not even interested. If you give the woman anyone you give the woman, she will just carry flesh and put on it. So when they carried, are you with me? Watch. If Jesus had the human blood corrupted, watch, follow me. If he had that DNA and history of humanity corrupted, he has already lacked the capacity to save man. That is the power of incarnation. What is incarnation? Incarnation is that, of course, there must be a father for a child to come. Are you with me? Oh, follow me. And if there will be a father, it will mean that somehow someone supplied the quota of a father to Mary. And what did Mary do? Gave the thing flesh, gave the thing body. Watch. So it will mean that the history the child carries is coming from who is the father. It will mean that the original sin traveling in humanity did not affect Jesus. Is it not true? So it will mean that the origin of his life cannot be sourced to Adam. Is it not true? Where is the origin of his life? So are you following where I'm going now? It will mean that, remember what we said, that the life of a flesh, of a human here, is where? So it will mean that the life that is of God in incarnation was invested. Where was it invested? It was invested in the flesh. So when the flesh, the man Jesus, was walking upon the face of the earth carrying blood, his blood was not normal blood. Follow me. That is why the Bible said that he is fully God and fully man. It's a mystery. I can only stop where the scripture stopped on this context. And these ones I'm telling you, of course you should know that one of the cardinal points of our faith is incarnation. I hope you know. Just as Harry was telling you, if you don't believe the incarnation, it's over. Let's stop. You know what is incarnation? That God became man, became flesh. Not just that God became man, that God became flesh. Because you can tell the way people are doing these days. We know you are correct, but if you just say man, they will say man is everything and everything is man. There is nothing I've not heard these days. So we mean flesh, I mean physically, just as he actually came, he was born of a woman. Tell me, born of a woman. Very important that you realize that he was born of a woman. But who contributed the seed? Mary asked a question. He said, how can these things be? And the angel answered her and said, what? The Holy Ghost will what? Overshadow thee. And then you become pregnant. Watch. So the scripture said, he through the eternal spirit. It will mean that the investment of the life of God was none. Are you seeing where we are going? I just traced to you the origin of blood. Show to you that the life, that what made blood powerful is the investment of life that is in it. If it is the life of a goat, if it is the blood of a goat, it is powerful to the tone of the life that was invested in it. If it is the human life, it is powerful to the tone of the life that was invested in it. Even before man sinned, man was innocent. Not necessarily righteous. In fact, righteousness in the correct context is as a result of eternal life at work, not necessarily as a result of what you did or you did not do. Are you with me? That is why when you became righteous, is it because of what you did? It's not because of what you did or you didn't do. What happens is that it is a nature.
you begin to now live as a result of that nature that has entered into you. It will mean that it's beyond the capacities of humanity. Even before man sinned, what man retained before he sinned is a capacity called innocence. Serve me innocence. It will mean that the guy have not done anything bad. Is it not true? But after some time, he became guilty anyway. But the blood of Jesus Christ, when a man retains favor with God, when a man begins to relate with God on the basis of God, not on the basis of whom he is or what he can do, he will be accorded with a name called righteous. It will mean that that man is not living as a result of his humanity, but is living as a result of God's essence and God's possibility. When you begin to live as that, you are counted as a man that is righteous. Are you with me? You are righteous. Why? Because you have chosen to live from a frame of reference that is not human, that is God. When a man begins to live from that frame of reference, he is counted righteous. Meanwhile, you cannot live from that frame of reference if you do not receive the capacity to see beyond this realm and see the man that whom himself has that reference embedded in him. It will mean it is not your own, and you will want to live according to that person. And from the days of Abraham, we found out that men that live that way are called men of faith. Are you with me? So when a man reckons God as the only source of his life, reckons God as the only basis of his existence, reckons God as the reason why he's on earth, if you make money, it's because of God. Even before Jesus came to physically die, such men, it can be counted for them for righteousness. Are you with me now? Now, it will mean, I'm actually moving faster than myself, but I noticed that I need to say this so some of you will pick. My time has passed. I will stop here after saying this. Now, it will mean that there is innocence, but there is something higher than innocence. Innocence is you as a man not doing anything bad. Huh? That is the standard of man. When you take it off from the standard of man to the standard of God, it will now be righteous. Serve me righteous. So there are many things Jesus is. Of course, he's innocent. Eh? But it is not because of his innocence that he was qualified. He is righteous, and there are made a few other things. Follow me. Are you with me now? So it will mean that the investment of the life of God that was in the blood of Jesus is what made the blood of Jesus what it was. Can you get this thing I'm saying now? If the investment of the life that is in a goat is what made the blood of God what it is, are you with me? And the investment of the life that is in a chicken, I hope you know, in priesthood language, it is in priesthood that we understand all blood doesn't have the same power. They don't have the same efficacy. Something they will say bring chicken. In others they will say what, bring goat. In others they will say, some of you think it's only because of size. It's not just about size. It is also the weight of the life that is invested in that blood. What that thing also represents in priesthood language. There are other animals that is not as big in size, but represents higher weight in life. I mean the solical life. Especially when you begin to count animals that are pure animals. Animals, what does it mean for an animal to be a pure animal? Don't answer. My life. What does it mean? Okay, not pure, clean. What does it mean? My life. He said these animals that are edible. In the name, AK is not edible, snake is not edible here, but I'm not sure it's the same thing all over Nigeria. Here we don't shop dog, but I know if you go down south, it's a delicacy. What makes an animal clean? Clean animal or clean beasts are animals that the fall did not affect their nature, did not affect
the nature. Huh? Yes. The fall of man. I hope you know that the Bible said that creature was held subject to bondage. So the fall of man did not just affect man, it affected also what? Creature. That's the problem. So mosquito was not meant to be disturbing you in the night. That was what I'm trying to tell you. He's supposed to be singing for you so you'll be sleeping well. You are not with me. That thing he's doing is perverted possibility. He's supposed to be giving you lullaby. But what is it now? And then you smash yourself. It will mean that the manual has been corrupted as a result of the fall. Can you get this, my teaching now? And it is so for many animals. But there are animals that their manual was not corrupted. There are not many, but there are few. And those are the only kind of animal that you can only see the Holy Spirit or the Godhead represented in his dimension. Huh? You can never see God say God is tortoise. You say you are in a chamber and the glory of God is coming and God came like tortoise. Oh, but you don't know. Are you with me now? There are animals God cannot. God cannot become a serpent. I know you have heard the scripture where the Bible said, even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so will the Son of Man be lifted up. Now, I don't want to go. What the serpent, the brazen serpent, is the mystery of the old man, the flesh. Huh? It will mean that the victory that Jesus brought was based upon the fact that the old man was lifted up on the cross. It will mean that the continuous and consistent victory that we get is when we subscribe to the philosophy that Jesus subscribed to. What is the philosophy? He lifted up the old man, the serpent. And as long as the serpent is lifted up, your victory will be assured. Can you get this, my teaching now? So this is what happened. God invested his life, the blood of Jesus. Huh? You know, some people say blood of God and all that. I know it's derogatory, but the truth is that the blood of Jesus is actually the blood of God. That's what it is. I need to tell you what happened when you got born again. I will still show you the ministries of the blood. When you got born again, what happened is that you were inducted into the bloodline. Huh? In redemption, the theology of redemption, that is what we call the bloodline. Suffer me, the bloodline. The bloodline is a line that non-initiates do not cross. The bloodline, are you with me? It takes a family member to partake of the bloodline. And the proof that you are not part of the family is because you have not, if you can't cross the bloodline, then you are not part of the family. And everything, not just the members, everything that is not included in the family is automatically excluded by the power of the bloodline. Are you getting the point? So Jesus, by his blood, redeemed us. And I need to tell you that he redeemed us from everything that is Satan, death, sickness. Now, he didn't just redeem us. Just as the Passover lamb that took place in the book of Exodus, after the redemption, they now brought the blood and splattered it on the lintels and on the doorposts, so that when Abaddon is coming, Abaddon can increase my volume on this mic, my friend. When Abaddon is passing, Abaddon will assume that his work has been done in this house. Because his work is to kill. Once there is bloodline, a picture of the bloodline, you know what happens? The Bible said, Moses told them, take a hyssop, dip it in the blood, take it and smite it on the lintels. When demons see it, there are things they can pass, but not the bloodline. Even death itself, increase my volume. Even death itself. Are you hearing me? When it's passing, see, it's not because you are good or bad. When the death was passing in Egypt, he was not leaving the children of Israel because they are better than the Egyptians. After all, many of them came to the wilderness and wanted a calf.
it will mean that their soul has not been delivered. It is because they understood the principle in the spirit that he that has passed the bloodline cannot be forced by anything outside the bloodline. Death is outside the bloodline. Sickness is outside the bloodline. The demons in your family, the curses in your father's house, is an understanding. Pateska. Demons can't cross it. That Satan was busy killing from house to house, person to person. Full and yes, men, death they were moving, but there are men that carry the banner of the blood. Listen to me. The bloodline, it can only be entered into by initiation. And the initiation is the induction we came into as a result of the fact that we are born again. That induction brought us into possibilities, not because of our work, but because of the work that Jesus has worked. If we work again, then it will violate the work that has been worked. It is for the man that believes it. Are you with me? It will now take an understanding and then yield it to the Holy Spirit to lead us into the possibilities that is given to this life. The bloodline. See, brothers and sisters, I don't carry the possibilities of my father in the natural. I will prove it on this earth. Where he failed, I will succeed. This is not because I'm more powerful than him. Not because I'm better than him. It's not a boast. It is because I've realized something. The next great people is carrying life in blood. And he has brought it to the right.
Jesus! If you are a male here, take your right hand, put it on your head. If you are a female, put it on your tummy. You will just close your eyes, make this confession with me. You say it 7 times. Close your eyes. In the name of Jesus. By the blood, give me sound. This guy, why are you behaving like this? Don't worry. Stop. You are distracted. In the name of Jesus. I am forced.
I am forced.
The possibilities, the potentials that is in the blood, in my life, in my destiny, in my family, in my health, in my business, and I declare the activation of the bloodline of the blood of Jesus over my life now. And because of this, I am separated from everything running in my human family, running in the natural family. There can be two owners. You will see reaction now. There are things that can't cross the bloodline. No, watch, you will see. Watch. All those demons that are staying there because of legality, we nullify every legality because of the blood. We nullify them. All the legalities. Look at that lady. The demon is living. He's living. All the places given to them by parents, by lineage, by families. The bloodline does not allow that. The bloodline of the blood. Now. There are two people following us online. There is a massive deliverance coming on you now. Sicknesses that you inherit from your parents, weaknesses is going now. Make sure your hand is on your head. If you are a female, make sure your hand is on your tummy. All you demons, all you yokes, all you covenants, all your break, all your leap, all your break, all your leap, all your break, all your leap, all your break, we have confessed it now. By the confession of a man's mouth, he is saved. There is somebody here, there is poverty running in your family. All your family members are struggling. Running in the family, we enforce the blood now. By the bloodline. Yes. laying claim to you. What are you still waiting for? Come out of them. Take your hands off. You can mention them one after another. Mention your father's weaknesses, the challenges. Tell them you cannot pass the bloodline. Today I enforce it. In Jesus' mighty name. We will continue making series of confessions as a mighty work has been done and is still going on. Still going on. I see a mighty work in a few people's life, but because of want of time,